Why are narratives important? Why are narratives important? Researchers from a variety of fields, including neuroscience, political science, and psychology, study the role of narratives in human cognition. Politics and political behavior are ultimately derived from the perceptions, decisions, and actions of individuals. Thus, narratives are crucial to understanding the behavior of groups, such as resistance movements. Basic knowledge about academic fields concerned with group behavior is helpful in understanding the impact of narratives on political behavior. Social movement theory, a branch of political science and sociology that studies organized political movements, provides a number of tools that are useful for analyzing narratives. This section discusses the general theories of narratives as they relate to individual cognition and group behavior, and introduces the current empirical research and analytic tools supporting these theories. Homo narrans, narratives and individual cognition. The common Latin term describing contemporary humans is Homo sapiens, or man the wise. It privileges the human's rational or reasoning capacity as the primary characteristic distinguishing modern humans from their hominid predecessors. Long before Descartes wrote his famous aphorism, "I think, therefore I am," great thinkers used this rational capacity to draw a line between the animal kingdom and humanity. The terms rational and reasoning are usually associated with the scientific method. Through this method, knowledge arises from the iterative process of observing the empirical world and experimenting to check hypotheses. Any two people, using the same materials and methods, should be able to draw the same conclusion. This process of logic deduction, which creates knowledge on which we can then act, is the logico-scientific mode of thought. In contrast to Homo sapiens, Walter Fisher, in his article, "Narration as a Human Cognition Paradigm: The Case of Public Moral Argument," argued that humans are best described as Homo narrans, or man the storyteller. As discussed in the preceding section, narratives are thought to be a critical medium of human cognition. Narratives help individuals make sense of their everyday lives by developing a foundation of social knowledge. Without them, language is just a sequence of sounds. Quote, "Our ability to make language meaningful is the work of storytelling, an ability that allows us to recognize and make meaningful patterns of words, phrases, and inflections, to make and recognize common story forms and archetypes, and to be responsive to those patterns when they are communicated to us in fragments." End quote. In this regard, narratives are critical in helping individuals fill in missing information. Each narrative contains two complementary landscapes. The landscape of action recounts the sequence of events, while the landscape of consciousness attributes motivation and intention to actors in the text. Narratives are especially important in helping us decipher the latter. In the Structure and Components of Persuasive Narratives section of this study, we discuss the different structures and components of a narrative that facilitate this process. The two different modes of understanding, the logico-scientific mode described previously and the narrative mode, appear to be at odds. This separation between the logical and mythological goes back millennia, with the birth of the first philosophical treatises of recorded history. In them, logos, or rational discourse, was privileged above the mere poetic or rhetorical in its ability to accurately comment on knowledge, truth, and reality. Both modes of understanding come from different ways of knowing what we know. Whereas the logico-scientific mode of thought seeks to legitimize truth by the weight of empirical evidence, the narrative mode of thought is truthful in its believability or lifelikeness. It just fits with the perspectives or narratives we use to make sense of our world. Consider the following perspectives on the movement of the sun. Many people at one time understood the movements of planetary bodies, the sun, and other stars through myths and stories. In the myths of ancient Greece, the rising and falling of the sun was attributed to the god Apollo, who rode his fiery chariot in a circuit across the sky each day. When the Enlightenment occurred in Western Europe, science displaced most mythical explanations. The sun is now as a star, fueled by colliding hydrogen and helium atoms, in strictly scientific terms confirmed through rigorous scientific experimentation. The two perspectives in this example serve different purposes. The rationalist perspective seeks generalizable truths, or causal explanations, to predict observable phenomena. The narrative perspective, by contrast, seeks meaningful explanations. Understanding the sun from a rationalist perspective helps to generate knowledge about planetary bodies and enable categorizations and predictions about the natural world. However, for the ancient Greeks, viewing the sun through the narrative perspective provided a meaningful explanation, highlighting the power and majesty of the divine Apollo. It formed part of a larger mythic narrative that explained the relationship between the divine and human worlds, and also described appropriate conduct and possible punishments against breaches of behavior. If we approach this narrative about the sun from a logico-scientific perspective, it is indeed factually incorrect. The sun is not carried across the sky by a divine being. However, the function of the Apollonian myth was not to identify facts about the natural world. Instead, it helped its listeners to understand the proper ordering of the world according to the tenets of their religious faith. The persuasive power of a narrative does not derive from rationalist perspectives of truth or fidelity reference in the objective world. Western culture tends to overemphasize and overvalue rationalist perspectives. Some philosophers of science, such as Thomas Kuhn and Paul Feyerabend, have challenged the role of the scientific method in critical advances in scientific knowledge. A clearer understanding of the function of narrative helps to explain why some resistance movements act in seemingly irrational ways. Insurgents might reject a negotiated settlement to end a conflict, despite the many advantages it offers, because accepting the settlement would mean discarding the projected future in the group's narrative. The tension between these two modes is still present in American public discourse. Debates over instruction on intelligent design and evolution, for instance, pit Christian narratives derived from the biblical texts against scientific theories of evolution. Proponents of both sides seek to answer the fundamental question of where humans are from and where they are heading. Fervent believers of intelligent design and creationism marshal the Book of Genesis and faith to support their arguments. On the other hand, as clear evidence of their assertions, equally fervent believers of evolution can point to an exhibit in the Smithsonian National Museum of Natural History presenting a tour de force of fossil evidence spanning millions of years. Yet debates between those holding these clashing perspectives are unlikely to result in any changed attitudes or beliefs, because each side operates from different methods of knowing. Narratives and political behavior. Debates such as the one over intelligent design and evolution point to the importance of narratives in political life. Narratives affect our perception of reality, and in turn affect our responses and actions. In this regard, according to Molly Patterson and Kristen Monroe in their article, Narrative in Political Science, narratives, quote, play a critical role in the construction of political behavior, end quote. The use of narratives spans from the individual to organized groups, such as resistance movements, to entire nations and cultures. Narratives are crucial to the formation of individual and group identities. They help societies answer fundamental questions, such as where they come from or whether they hold special status in the world. In an important sense, cultures are collections of stories transmitted from generation to generation. The stories give continuity to societies and cultures. Without the collection of stories, for instance, Islamic society would not have a systematic understanding of itself. And without these connections at an individual level, it would be difficult for Muslims to see themselves as part of the Ummah and to have a sense of purpose within it. The same can also be said for the Christian and Jewish communities. Individuals exhibit a fundamental need to draw parallels to their own lives in a story in order to more fully comprehend where the world is headed and how they fit into that larger schema. This is readily apparent in the role-playing games children play in which they pretend to be adults by acting as if they are finding jobs or leaving their parents' homes. Children's play is a dress rehearsal for adult responsibility. Even as adults, we continue to imagine our ideal futures in terms of career, family, retirement, and other major transitions. The narratives we construct for ourselves are in turn informed by the narratives dominating mainstream culture. In the case of groups that are excluded, these individuals might develop alternative narratives, and the subcultures that form around these narratives often help members of the excluded groups find their places in the world. Creating and transmitting these alternative narratives in the mainstream media is often an imperative for members of marginalized groups. Narratives provide individuals and groups with a sense of purpose and place. However, when the common understanding that a narrative generates is contested by another individual or group in society, the narrative becomes a source of conflict for the contenders, just as in our example of the debate between proponents of evolution and those of intelligent design. As a society rethinks its position on critical issues, contenders may launch challenges to the stock narratives accepted by mainstream society. Narratives play a key role in formulating and maintaining a national identity. Stories about group origins and development permeate national narratives. Many such narratives are passed through the formal education system, playing an influential role in the development and sustainment of national identity. The importance of such narratives means they often become a topic of political debate. The study of narratives is important for the Special Operations Forces practitioner because it offers one way for insurgent leaders to potentially overcome the problem of organizing collective action, a challenge well known to economists, political scientists, and others. In the 1960s, Mancur Olson noted that rational, self-interested individuals will not act in support of a collective good or common interest when it is easier to sit back, let others do the work, then enjoy the fruits of their labor. It may be useful to consider several examples of the collective action problem. Consider, for instance, a collection of factories that emit pollution into the environment. The factory owners and workers, and indeed society in general, benefit from lower levels of air pollution. Yet, in the absence of government regulations, each factory owner may refrain from assuming the costs of installing technology that captures air pollutants before they are emitted into the environment. One factory owner may reason that the other factory owners will adopt a strategy of free riding, leaving the original factory owner at a disadvantage because he or she has incurred the cost of the expensive technologies, while others have not. Collective action problems are also present among nations that have banded together to provide for common defense. For instance, within the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, NATO, U.S. leaders have often complained about the free-riding behavior of European nations. Government officials speculate that European governments spend less on defense, knowing that the United States will protect them. The collective action problem is a useful tool because it helps to explain the mobilization challenges faced by insurgent movements. One can regard the desired outcome of an insurgency, such as a revolutionary socialist government, a territory under Sharia law, or a liberal democracy allied with the West, as a public good requiring self-sacrifice. But resistance is an inherently risky business that offers little probability of success. This is especially true in the initial stages of a rebellion, when insurgent groups are small and less powerful than the governments they challenge. Oftentimes, the risks mean that only diehard activists, a small segment of the population, are willing to risk their lives. As a result, most opposition groups die young. Groups use a variety of means to overcome this initial mobilization hurdle. One strategy is attacks against highly symbolic signs of state power. The attacks generate violent images that, whether correct or not, portray the insurgents' growing strength. When the acts are repeatedly carried out, people can be forced to choose between supporting a crumbling status quo or an opposition growing in strength. Many are driven to choose the latter option. Most people have a desire to support the winning side and be privy to the spoils of victory. Mobilizing can also lessen the chances of being on the receiving end of score-settling violence after the conflict has concluded. Later sections of this study discuss the means through which insurgent groups use narratives to change perceptions of a conflict. the distortion can compel individuals to sacrifice for the public good. This is accomplished primarily by transforming individual engagement or action into one of personal meaning.